Hour, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com. I'm your announcer, Poppin' Newt of poppinnewt.com in Kansas City, Missouri. And in just a moment, we'll be joined by our co-host, Catherine Ironwood of luckymojo.com in Forestville, California, and Conjurman Ali of conjurmanali.com in Mission Viejo, California. This week, we'll be joined by a special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, Madam Nadia of madamnadia.com in Chicago, Illinois. They will take your calls and offer advice to address, ameliorate, and remediate your questions and problems about love, money, career, and spiritual protection using traditional African-American folk magic practices of hoodoo, conjure, or root work as divined and prescribed by the greatest spiritual hoodooists of our time. You can learn a lot just by listening, but if you're selected from among those who signed up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and called into the show, then you'll be on the air and receive a free consultation. We'll be going to the phones in just a moment, but first, let's catch up with our co-hosts, Miss Kat and Conjurman Ali. Miss Kat?
Hi, so nice to hear you today, Papa Newt. Love your beautiful radio voice.
Thank you.
How are things going in Kansas City?
You know, crazy busy. I have a list of goals for 2015, and so I'm trying to get as much done before that comes around. So I have a few weeks, and one of my biggest goals is really letting people know that if they need to just get away and come into the shop and need just prayers, even if it's affirmative prayer, I'm here for them to do that. And I'm also setting up maybe every Sunday in the morning to make myself available for people to call in just to pray if they
wow.
need that.
Wonderful.
So that's one of my many big plans.
That's really great. And you know something, Papa Newt? You have been a faithful participant, what we would call fill-in announcer when Miss Tammy Lee is off doing something else. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you've always been here for us. Your shop, Kansas City Conjure, Good Luck Shop, is a great retailer of Lucky Mojo products. And you are one who always shares our announcements every time we hold those Facebook Fridays giveaways, which we've been doing for 1 year. We just passed our one-year anniversary.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, you share them. I mean, you're always there with us. When are you going to join AIR?
Actually, that's the other plan as well. Like I said, the biggest thing is just getting that bio finished up, which
uh-huh.
I do have a good friend. I talked to her yesterday. I'm like, I need you just to look this over. And because she is an English major, so I'm like, please look this over, make sure it sounds wonderful. So once we get that done, probably this week, I'm going to put it in.
Oh, I am so happy to hear that, Papa. That literally brings tears to my eyes. I've been waiting for this for a long time, because if anybody should be in AIR, it's you. And I know the move from Nebraska down to Kansas City to, you know, you were like, I'm going to join AIR. Oops, got to move to Kansas City.
Right.
And then, oh, my gosh, the whole store is being rearranged, new ownership, new this and that and the other. And I know you've had a lot on your plate. You've been doing great with the shop. And you're running a wonderful service down there, and I just so much want to see you in AIR. So, y'all listening now, you all heard it here first. Papa Newt is going to be in AIR. That means we can have him as a guest as well as a fill-in announcer.
Mm-hmm.
and could a radio show be in the wings for a man with a radio voice like this?
Well,
think about that. Let's just say that that's in the domain of Professor Charles Porterfield, the general manager of the LMC Radio Network. But it's nice to know you're doing well, Papa Newt, and I always am so pleased at your kindness, your generosity, and your professionality. So nice to have you here today. All right. Well, this is the space where I'm supposed to talk about what's going on in my shop, Lucky Mojo Curio Company. Well, one of the things that's going on is, as I mentioned, we just passed our one-year mark giving away free goods through Facebook. Now, Facebook is going to be part of the topic of today's show, so I don't want to anticipate that too much, because we will be discussing social media magic. But I just want to talk a little bit about the Facebook giveaway program. It's been going on for a year. Every week we give away random drawing prizes. All you have to do is go to Facebook, find the Lucky Mojo Curio Company page, like the page if you want to. You don't actually have to like it to win. But if you like it, you'll keep on getting notices, because the way Facebook works is if you like something, it shows up in your news feed, and then you'll have a kind of automatic reminder every Friday. But you don't have to like us. You could like Papa Newt, because he shares it every week, and I share it every week. We share it all around Facebook, and then you can enter to win. And we've given away hundreds of these prizes over the course of the last year. We're going to continue it for the next year. We like doing it. Our clients, our customers, and our fans like it. You do not need to be a customer to enter. You do not need to like the Facebook page to enter. But it's nice if you do. The other things that have been going on around here, we've been making oils. We got into a little bind on oil production. Our dear weekend oil maker, Brian, who's been with us off and on for many years, works only on the weekends making oils, and he came down with pneumonia, and he took him out of commission for a while. So we have oil orders backed up in a line behind Brian as he's standing there right now. And be patient. If you ordered oils, Brian, Yose, Heidi, Leslie, Nikki, me, I think just about everybody is trying to make oils to catch up because of Brian being out and us getting behind a little on the oils. But they're all handmade, and we'll have them all to you as soon as possible. As you know, we make them in small batches. There's no factory here. So we make them in batches and send them out as we can. And we are working very, very hard to get that done. So that's my news from here. It's been raining. That's good. Been raining. That's not an end to the California drought yet, but we're feeling a little more secure in our ability to grow flowers next spring. Around the nation, the cop killings continue. I mean, these killer cops. These killer cops are on the rampage, and that's going to also be something we're going to touch on in social media magic. For all of those who wonder, why does beloved Catherine Ironwood, the old grandmother of hoodoo, keep on posting about cops killing people? Well, because it's bad, and I just can't stand it, and I have to keep on posting about it. So if you read my Facebook page, in between the sweetness and light and the little kittens and the fantastic artifacts from around the world and magic, 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 you are going to see some of those posts. Bear with it. It might make you think a little bit. I wrote an essay today on the similarities between the killer cops and the pederast priests, in addition to the fact that they have nice names. Killer cop, pederast priest have that nice, what do you call that, when the two consonants...
Assimilation?
No, yeah, it's not assimilation. There's a name for that one. And it's not onomatopoeia either, and I don't know what it is anymore. Well,
Alliteration.
There we go. They have alliterative, thank you. They have alliterative names, killer cops, pederast priests, and they're both run by large organizations which make their employees wear uniforms and report to a chain of command. Do you see a pattern? The only major difference is that the crimes committed by the one group are mostly sex crimes, and the crimes committed by the other group are mostly violent crimes. But they both have some violence and some sex in each one, but they sort of select for the kind of criminal they're going to harbor, train, educate, bring along, cover up for, and profit from. Just a thought.
Where did you post this essay?
I posted this on my Catherine. Oh, just go to Facebook and Catherine Ironwood. It's a long post, and I had a lot to say. If I make enemies, well, they weren't my friends to begin with.
Amen.
All right. Now, how are you doing today, Ollie? After all that was a strange introduction. How are you?
You know, that introduction actually fits very well with what has been going on over here. I've been traveling this past week, and I literally just got home an hour ago. So I am a little bit jet-lagged and still in that liminal state of what happens when you travel. I haven't quite settled back in. In fact, I'm looking at my suitcase as we speak. But this has been a week where I've been working with academic circles about this very situation that you brought up, and police brutality and questions of race. And I wrote a bit about the process of how power and race work together to strip someone of their humanity and therefore make them appropriate targets of violence. For people that are interested, Monday is going to be a big day from what I hear. The autopsy reports will be released. People are out in the streets protesting. So America is in a very interesting place, and hopefully we'll see some change. I appreciate that you post that stuff on Facebook, Kat, because one of the things that I see is that people in the magical community often just live in their little world of magic. But in my opinion, the root worker especially is tied to his or her community. And they are interested in what's going on in the world. I mean, there's a long tradition of even back during the era of slavery in the plantations that it was the root worker that negotiated power. It was the root worker that was able to stop the overseer from hurting the slaves. It was the root worker that even led revolutions and rebellions and violence and stuff like that.
That's right. That's right.
And so I think today's topic is perfect along those lines, especially because while you are very deft at using social media, I am a techno-skeptic. And it is our lovely guest, Madam Nadia, who regularly plies me and goes, "No, you gotta go on Facebook. You have to be involved in this." Because I am notorious for not being on Facebook. I have a Facebook page, but I think you both can attest. I probably haven't been on there in a whole month. So
well, that's true, but
you're
a Twitterist.
I am a Twitterist. I am very happy to have Madam Nadia on, because she's always giving me the poke and going, "Come on, join the 21st century."
Yeah. Well, let's bring on Madam Nadia. Hi, hon. How are you doing today?
I'm doing very well. Very, very well. It is certainly interesting times we're living in. I think this history that's happening in front of our eyes, and I am very happy that the situation forces people to take sides, but also to sort of think for themselves what they believe in, what they stand for, what they claim as theirs, you know, especially when we're talking about root work and hoodoo and the roots of it and all that kind of stuff. So I think that beyond on which side you stand, I'm so happy that people get an opportunity to stop and think for themselves. And a lot of it is happening online. A lot
That's
of
right.
it is happening on
yeah.
social media. We get to learn about things that we would not know even 10 or 15 years ago, at least not in that speed, about what's going on, the crimes, you know, the protests. How fast can you get information of, like, okay, something, you know, it's going to happen in Chicago. Well, you know, in this and that spot, we're going to be having a protest. Within seconds, you can hear it, you learn it through Twitter, through Facebook, and also you get to see really who are the people in your community, how can you learn from them, how can you connect. And so for me, you know, I'm a big fan of social media, as Benjamin Ali mentioned, and I am fascinated by it and also very interested in learning how to utilize it and manipulate it for purposes, for whatever it is, you know.
Before we jump into the magic part of this, I want to put a little shout out to Candelo Kimbisa and Robert Lucas, Ancestor Healing, on Candelo's Corner. Last show they had, they did an entire show, and y'all can go to the Blog Talk Radio archives and check this out. They did an entire show on why groups that are in the ATRs and DTRs, that is African traditional religions and diasporic traditional religions, which are traditionally led by people of African descent, but recently have incorporated more bodies that are actually led by white leaders, who, because anyone can join these religions, and or have a majority white membership in certain houses, why those groups, and especially official bodies, have remained silent on the subject of the Black Lives Matter movement. And so if you want to hear more about that, go to Candelo and Robert. They really laid it out. And Menotti Wilson was also a guest on that show. It was a very, very hard-hitting show. And they really kind of laid it out. There is a problem here. It's a disconnect. And we're saying the same thing in Hoodoo. They didn't talk about Hoodoo because they're an ATR show. But we are a Hoodoo show. And we're saying the same thing. A large drop away of white people who up to August were, I'm a Hoodoo root doctor. And now suddenly they're just as silent as the grave. Because black people are getting killed in the streets. And they've done things like try to take the hashtag, we'll get to hashtags in a moment, Black Lives Matter, and change it to All Lives Matter, which is true. All lives do matter, but don't ever put that up without putting Black Lives Matter, too. It's a hashtag is a hashtag, and you don't corrupt it for your own weird purposes, you know. So this is a large issue. I know people 5 years from now are going to download this show and go, oh, yeah, that was a long time ago. And, yes, folks, this is a topical issue. It will be something that won't be around, we hope, in forever. But right now this is on our minds and on our agenda to discuss a little bit here that, as Ali said, root workers used to, during slavery times and even later, when you read things like the biography of Jim Jordan, he took the lead in mediating between the black community and the white community during a time of Jim Crow segregation racism. He was the mediator and the root doctor. His sister was the midwife because black people couldn't go to the hospital, right? So the family functioned as doctors. They functioned as midwives. They functioned as social fixers in addition to magic fixers. And so we know that this pattern has persisted for a long time. Now, people have sort of broken them apart. They think of root doctors, especially on the internet, as these kind of little, I guess you could say, little guys having fun with magic. But there's a whole lot more to what being a root doctor is. And I'm going to put another shout out. Professor Porterfield, in his last show, or maybe it was the show before last, I think it was the show before last, he talked about honorific names. Don't call yourself professor if you don't teach. Don't call yourself mama if you don't, or papa if you don't comfort. Don't call yourself brother or sister if you're not a lay person in a religious condition. Those names have meanings. And don't call yourself a doctor if you don't heal. And we're looking at people who want to have these names, but they don't want to actually engage the community. I'm not just here to complain. I'm here to let's move forward with that. But I do think that I want to give shout-outs to other people that I know in the LMC Network who've been dealing with these issues on their radio shows. Check them out because they are well worth your attention. Now, let's assume that the person listening to the show 5 years from now, it's all going to be happiness and light and fluffy bunnies and rainbows, and all they do they have to deal with is getting a Bubba to love them again or whatever it may be. And they're going to go, stop talking about that political jive. We want to hear the good stuff about the love and the money. All right, we'll get to that. Let's talk about social media as a way to cast spells. And but before we do that, I'm going to give a little bit of history here. We think of social media, because the phrase is a new phrase, as being the internet. But social media goes back to newspapers, to what used to be called circulars or flyers that companies would print and give out in your package when you'd buy something, or circulars were sent in the mail. They weren't circular in shape. They were just called circulars because they circulated. And they would be things like maybe an advertisement, but an old-fashioned circular or flyer from a Hoodoo shop, and I have many of them, I collect them, going back to the 60s, 70s, 80s, even the 90s, when you bought a package of candles or whatever, you got a circular with it, and it would give you a spell on how to use those things. It would also give you other ways to contact. It might give you notices of upcoming events at the shop. The circulars gradually got replaced with newsletters. Now social media, as we understand it with the internet, has made email newsletters very common. Everyone does a newsletter. But there's also just the the place, the behavioral sink, as it were.
Yes.
Somebody's going to laugh about that, and I knew it would be you, Ollie, where
mm-hmm.
people go to misbehave
yep.
and to have fun, which is places like Facebook. But let's also consider when we do this that this is nothing new, that we have not reinventing the wheel here. We've just simply changed the venue. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, Pinterest, all of those simply are new forms of a very old way of communicating in groups. All right, now I'm going to turn this over to Madam Nadia. You tell us some practical ways that you use social media for magical purposes.
Well, I want to say before I go into that, very interestingly, I did a documentary about intellectual property. I've been working on this project in the last couple of weeks, and it was very interesting to learn that this whole digital technological revolution is exactly the same thing that's happening every 50 years. We have new technology and people,
mm-hmm.
you know, go up in arms about it. Everybody's talking about it, and then the system sort of works it into our daily lives, and we move on.
Mm-hmm.
So, indeed, you know, newspapers, radio, television, all of that existed and was and is social media. The difference is that now we all can be part of it. We all can create. We all can be somebody because we can have our Facebook account, we can have a Twitter account, we can have our Instagram. And the way I like to look at it as a practitioner is that anything that I touch, be it in person, physically, or be it virtually, it's a reflection of me, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And being the fact that it's virtual reflection, it's a virtual persona, I can do with it many different things. So you can see a lot of people that approach social media without really understanding how to use it, and they think that, you know, they're just going to say the same things that they're saying to their husband or wife, to their friends, and it's going to be accepted the same way. No, because the communication is different. We do not hear your voice. You're typing things in. So I think it's very important to understand how that aspect works. And it's, you know, it's something that I'm not going to go into because it's not the magical thing. I can definitely, you know, if somebody needs a couple of lessons, I'm open to teach that in private. But when I start working with social media, I think about me as a virtual being and as a persona that I want to create or the influence that I want to make.
Mm-hmm.
Thinking about that, I go back and think to about our dear beloved friend Eddie
mm-hmm.
that said mm-hmm. when, you know, when people write something sad on Facebook and then you get a lot of, you know, you go and like it, what does that make? So let's
mm-hmm.
say it's my enemy that wrote that their grandma just died. By me going and liking it and other people liking it, it just increases the energy of pain for that person. Okay, if somebody writes, I cut my hand, you go and you like it, and many other people liking it, it increases those things. People don't think about it, right? Oh yeah, you posted whatever, I'm going to like. We can be very deliberate about what we like and what we dislike and what we put out into the world, because we get all of these things multiplied by so much with social media. There are so many people that can see it at the same time and later and comment on it. So let's say I know that I am not doing so good today. Instead of writing, I am a freaking mess and I haven't taken a shower and I don't have any food in the fridge and I have all this stuff to do, I'm going to write, it's a beautiful day and I'm so grateful to be alive. And then the network of my friends, they're going to go and they're going to like it. By liking it, they participate in that prayer that I just encoded in my social media feed.
Mm.
They are supporting my desire to, instead of sitting there and not knowing what to do with myself, to have a beautiful, wonderful day and move on and forward with whatever I do. So you can do it. You can play with it in many different ways.
You know, this is like affirmative prayer. I'm going to throw in a little
thing. Exactly.
This is affirmative prayer. Rather than attracting, if you all know the law of attraction, rather than, this is the simplest magic that there is, rather than attracting negativity to yourself, you simply send out an affirmation, and all your friends like it, and they are upholding you in prayer. Which also makes me want to mention at this point the Crystal Silence League, which is mm-hmm. another social media venue in which people post literal prayers online. You go to crystalsilenceleague.org and you post your prayers. You can do it anonymously or with your real name, however you like. People will pray, and through the magic of a JavaScript program, when they pray for you, they, instead of clicking like, they actually send you a little email. It's a very small email. It just says someone prayed for you. And it, you get the confirmation that they actually prayed for you, and it comes in your email.
It's exactly the same thing, just multiplied.
Mm-hmm.
And it can go back and forth. I mean, people can, you know, it's going to be there later, and people still can comment on it. And not only that, instead of bringing gloom and darkness to my community, I am bringing uplifting them by saying that I'm having a good day. Because, you know, if you go on Facebook, 9 out of 10 times, you'll see just horrible things. And I'm not talking about politics. I'm not talking about social stuff that's important. It's about just people just, you know, throwing whatever on there without thinking what kind of effect they're putting on themselves and on their community. If you're going to go there and you're going to say multiple times how horrible things are, your things are not going to get better. Yes, you may be going to vent in a way, and somebody's going to listen to it, kind of. But you're also going to increase all these crappy things and continue attracting it to you. So in that sense, I think we need to be very mindful about what we're putting out there. And it can go a level beyond by being very conscious and deliberate of information, pictures, profiles that we create. Okay, let's say that I'm a person that in real life, not in virtual life, I'm not very charismatic, but I want to be more charismatic. I'm aware of that. So I'm going to sit down, I'm going to think, what, in my opinion, constitutes a charismatic woman? And I'm going to start correlating these ideas with how can I create my Facebook profile or my Twitter profile, or my LinkedIn, where I'm, you know, looking for a job, as a charismatic figure, as somebody who out of 100 pictures, they're going to stop on me and say, hey, that chick, we're going to give her an opportunity. We're going to give her an interview. And it's just a picture, right? It's not just because I'm looking different or because they know me. Working with pictures, again, the same thing. Think about it. If this is my virtual self, if I were to go to an interview for a job, I'd probably go get me some oils, right? Crown of Success, Look Me Over, maybe Crucible of Courage. If I'm timid, I put some oils on myself. I'll take a bath, and then I'll go out to the interview into the real world, and I'll connect with a person.
Mm-hmm.
Now, instead of that, I can do that with a picture. Let's say I'm about to take a picture. I'm about to create a profile. I'm going to go and I'm going to go do exactly the same thing. I'm going to take my bath. I'm going to put my oils. I'm just going to be now shaping as a doll baby, as a figural candle. I am shaping myself in social media. I am allowed to create whatever person that I want. This is my affirmative prayer for the future. I want to be more charismatic, so I'm going to create that personality. And I'm going to take my picture with all those oils, with all those intentions, with all that prayer. And I'm going to put that picture out there. And now forever and ever, as long as that picture is connected to that profile, this is the energy that's going to be attached to it. Certainly don't sit out there uploading your resume and thinking, shit, man, I don't have enough experience, they're never going to look at me. You know, I'm not familiar with this background. I don't have this. They're not going to look at me. If you're going to do that, you imprint this intention into that profile for freaking ever. Mm-hmm. And you're not mm-hmm. helping yourself. And it's very, this is how I look at it. I look at it, this is my virtual self. I have different profiles. I can be different person in all of those. It's important to understand that your Facebook is different from your LinkedIn and from your Twitter or maybe something more professional or from even from, you know, website when you meet, you know, other people.
I just have to stick my word in here. You're a Gemini and well known for being a Gemini. Now I'm going to say something here because part of me is just, I don't know if you're feeling it too, Ollie, but you know, part of me is just clenching, right? What do you mean multiple virtual selves? No.
Well, I'm a Taurus. I understand
and,
what
and
you're
so,
saying. And
so,
I know
so
that
I'm not
going to
say I'm any less magical. I'm not going to say I'm any less magical than you because I have one virtual self and that you're more magical because you have multiple. That's your decision. But the point is whether you are a double-bodied sign like Gemini or Sagittarius or Pisces and want to have multiple or, you know, virtual selves, or you're a one of these super private ones who wants to have two selves because one is private, like cancers sometimes do.
It's really not about what you want, I think.
But
it's really
refine,
about the purpose of what
you get to
what
refine
you're
what
doing.
You want. Yeah, but Taurus, we got one virtual profile, okay?
I agree with you.
Just
saying. I know Tauruses that have different lives and different profiles. And they
look
the same thing.
But you know, there are people, like, it is open to misuse, too, because, you know, there are people who have one self. I'm just going to give you an example. There's a guy, and I never broadcast this person's name, but I've been watching this man now for a number of years. This man has one persona where he has a Confederate flag and deer hunting imagery. And on another, no, same guy, same IP address, same guy, same address, same everything. And on the other profile at Facebook, these are two Facebook profiles, he is a hoodoo practitioner and a lover of black people.
Mm.
Just telling you, I haven't outed the guy yet, but it's true. I am not making it up.
Well, I think that's also, it speaks to the way media has evolved, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is a generation that now we're kind of dealing with a virtual world. And while media has always existed, there's television, there's newspapers, and magic has worked in those fields as well, whether it's encoding something in a newspaper article or in a photo. Social media, as we've come to know it, in the digital age, it's really a new horizon. And we have to navigate it in different and unique ways. So questions of virtual personalities and real personalities is a serious question. And while Taurus is kind of going, no, there's just one self, there is also elements of abuse there. There's elements of success there, just like a person can put their best foot forward, as Madame Nadia is saying, and not per se saying that they're creating multiple personalities, but the idealized self, right? The perfect mm-hmm. self can be made in social media because you can take that perfect photo with just the right lighting. You can't do that every day. You know, there's days you wake up and you have a bad hair day. I never have a bad hair day because I don't have any hair. But, you know, there's days where you have those moments. But in social media, it offers this opportunity of real absolute control. But it also simultaneously is something that's out of your hand. Because once something goes out of the virtual world, it's out there. So I think the question you have to ask yourself first and foremost is in that moment when you do have control, whether it's you're typing the Facebook post or you're sending out that tweet or you're taking that Instagram photo or whatever it is you're doing, that's the moment control, right? That's the moment where you have power. That's the moment where you imbue it with life. What are you imbuing it with? Positivity, strength, are you putting forward your ideal image, your ideal visage? Are you putting forth something that can be used as a weapon against you? And then you send it out and it takes a life of its own because once it's out there in the virtual world, it's fed and it's fed over and over again, just like a mojo bag is fed, but now it's fed by a collective whole, everyone that likes it, everyone that shares it, everyone that reblogs it or retumbles it or retweets it or whatever it is. And I find that particularly fascinating, powerful. Again, I'm very new to social media in some regards, and I am a techno-skeptic, but there's certain things that I find that are great about social media, and that is that it can take a life of its own. I use that to my advantage. I don't know how many times I've used people's Facebook pictures as personal concerns, right? Facebook is my best friend. I've got someone's personal concern right there. I've got their date of birth. I'm like, I'm good to go. But also, on the same note, it's something that I've used for myself, taking a hashtag and using that as a personal concern. A prime example being hashtag Black Lives Matter. I've used that in my magical work to support the protest, spiritually to support this work and gaining traction for it and doing magic that way. Similarly with photos, in addition to wearing oils, I put on certain talismans. I make certain gestures in my photos. So I think the question, to kind of wrap it up to my original point, is that in that moment when you're engaged in social media, when you and social media meet, that's the moment the magic happens. And you have to ask yourself, everything you do in social media, what is the purpose of it? And if you can do that, that's when you're working magic in the world of media. At least that's what I think.
Yeah. I'm going to go take this one step into practicality because we've been talking mostly here about mental state magic, a little bit of talk about bathing and oils and things like that. Photos. I just want to talk again about marking photos.
You can
take a photo in Photoshop, blow it up, at the pixel level, write a message in it, shrink it down, even cut it down by reducing the number of pixel widths, which will take the embedded message and encode it into adjacent pixels. You probably all don't know what I'm talking about, but Madame Nadia knows what I'm talking about, right? And that picture will be marked. It's like a watermark, but you would have to blow it back up again to see it. And Facebook cuts them down automatically. Facebook has its own cut-down program.
Mm-hmm.
You can experiment with this. Try it. You can put things like, whatever it is you want to do. One other thing we've talked about in terms of social media is guarding a picture. People always are afraid.
Yes, yes.
They come to me. I shouldn't say they're always afraid. Many people are afraid their pictures can be stolen off of Facebook and used in magic. In fact, my good customers and clients often come to me, I've got her picture. I got it off of Facebook, And I went into his cell phone and I found out what it said, blah, 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 blah. And yes, you can use those. Now, how do you protect a picture from getting used in a social media type spell? Well,
absolutely.
You want to put some things in it that negate its connection to you, that cut or break its connection to you. And such encoded, pixelated things will help. Also, pictures of you wearing a protective amulet will help.
Yes, yes.
Uh-huh.
All right.
Uh-huh.
Well, I would love to go on with this, but I've got a break coming up. So this has been a fabulous subject. And let's let our lovely Papa Newt take it away.
Thank you, Miss Kat. And the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rework Hour with your host, Catherine Ironwood and Conjure Man Ali, and this week's special guest, Madame Nadia, will be right back. We'll be taking calls from our listeners, answering their questions through spiritual divination and prescribing down-home conjure remedies and remediations. Our call-in clients are selected from among those who have filled out a short questionnaire at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com. You can listen to the show online through Blog Talk Radio or via telephone by dialing 818-394-8535. If you filled out a client questionnaire at the forum, please dial in now to 818-394-8535 and press 1 to let us know that you're available to be on the air. We will select callers by area codes, and if your area code is announced, I would like you to allow me to say hello and allow me to read your brief description of your situation before turning it over to our host. Now, let's go to our phones and take our first caller. We have a caller. This is Nathan from area code 812 calling from Bloomington, Indiana. Nathan, are you there?
I am here.
Welcome to the show, and I see this is your first time calling in, and you haven't had any previous readings with Ms. Kat or Conjure Man Ali or any other readers. Is that correct?
That's correct.
All right. Let's take a look here at your situation. And Nathan writes, I'm considering becoming more professional reader and root worker, and would like to know if I am truly being called to do this or if I am just letting my ego get away with me. Turning back over to you, Ms. Kat.
All right. Well, the first thing I have to say, this is a moment I've been waiting for many years, when Nathans collide. Right? Haven't you all, come on, admit it, Ollie, admit it, Nadia, haven't you wanted to hear them both on the phone at the same time?
The dimensions are converging right now.
It's like, you know, it's like Marvel 2-in-1 or something. Okay. And they spell their Nathans differently so you can never confuse them. One is Nathan with an A-N and one is Nathan with an E-N. And didn't we just, now we're going to talk about signs. Didn't we just talk to Papa Newt, whose name is Nathan? Didn't we just talk to Papa Newt and say, and you're going to join AIR when? And now who's here? It's the other Nathan. Wanting to know if he should step up his game and become a professional reader remote worker. What do y'all say? Does God have a message here? I think so.
Mm-hmm.
I can do a reading on it. But I'm just going to say, when people ask me, Ms. Kat, what do you mean by signs? Well, that's what I mean by signs. There you go.
Huh.
When Nathans collide. Well, because otherwise it would have been Tammy Lee. You know, she's our usual hostess with most of us here. But now we got Papa Newt. All right, I'm going to throw three cards, and I'm going to ask you a couple questions. I think I know the answers to a couple of these. What sign of the zodiac are you?
I'm an Aquarius sun sign. I have an Aries rising and a Scorpio moon.
Well, Scorpio moon will help you. Are you interested in astrology if you're an Aquarius?
A little bit, yeah.
Or do you do card reading? What kind of reading do you do?
I do mostly card reading, and I'm trying my hand at bone reading, and that seems to be working really well.
Oh, good. Good.
Interesting.
Okay. Good. And for those who don't know, you are a graduate of my course. We know that. I mean, I know that. And you're a moderator on the Lucky Mojo Forum, just like Papa Newt.
Yep. I didn't know Papa Newt's name was Nathan.
Oh, yeah, it is. It's Nathan.
Funny.
I hope, Papa Newt, did I out you there? Was that bad? No, everybody knows your name is Nathan, right?
Yeah, it's Nathan.
It's Nathan. Yeah. All right. I'm going to put down three cards and see what I get. The first card, interesting card, and it's not a good card, so it's a bad card, but we're going to go on. We got three cards, so I'm just going to warn you here, it'll get better. First card is the Two of Swords. This is a card of a person who's blindfolded, has their arms crossed across their chest, holding a sword in each hand, and behind them is a body of water and the moon. It's a little new crescent moon. You only see the new moon like this, in that shape of a crescent, right after the dark of the moon, about 4 days after. It's the first new moon, which is what we call the change of the moon. It is in the west. It always is in the west. It has to be because of the way the earth is set up with relation to the moon. So we're looking west at the new moon, and there's this person looking east. Now, east represents new beginnings, but they have not yet figured out what's going on. They have their eyes covered with a cloth, and they're holding two swords, and they have their arms crossed in what classically in hoodoo would be called cross conditions or cross position. What we tell this person is, you're going to need to go ahead despite your self-doubt. The two swords, one moves toward the past, one toward the future. One defends from hurts of the past, one defends against possible pain in the future. Put your swords down. In other words, your expectations, your defenses, put them down. Take your blindfold off, uncross yourself, turn and face that new moon and realize you are, yes, embarking on a change. The problem with the card is you will have to go forward without complete knowledge of what you're getting into. You have to have a little faith to make this card work for you. Otherwise, the card is a little bit of a stall card. It stalls you out. The next card is a very good card. It is the card of Temperance. And this shows an angel pouring water from one cup to another. This card has extremely beneficial effects on people. The angel is usually considered to be Raphael by those who consider such things, because Raphael is always shown down by the water because Raphael taught Tobit how to fish. But, you know, whatever. The angel is a guardian angel, we could say, an anointed angel of the Lord who has Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, or Jehovah, embroidered on his robe. And you cannot go by this angel or past the angel on land because it's all blocked with rocks and then with flowers. But you have to go through the water to go back onto the path. This would indicate you need to pray on this a little bit. We have water in the first card, water in the second card. But after that prayer or that that experience of immersion, baptism, initiation, whatever that it is that, and by that I don't necessarily mean you got to join a religion that requires an initiation. I'm just saying there is a moment here of spirituality you have to acknowledge, and it's true in both cards. You will be able to rejoin the path of knowledge that you've undertaken. In other words, I don't think it's a question about are you a good reader or a good root worker. You have knowledge, but it's do you have that spiritual initiation? Also, the card shows an outcome of a crown, which is a success, crown of success, a crown in glory. It's a very good card. So a nice card for you. And the third card is a card that's a cups card. Now, this angel has two cups and porous between the two, which, by the way, stands for some telepathy and may indicate that you can sometimes substitute telepathic impulses or knowledges for book learning. In other words, I used to do this a lot when I was a kid. Before I had all the tarot cards memorized when I was a teenager, I didn't have them all memorized. I'd just stare at the person until I got the message from inside their brain. It was easier. I found I could only do it when I touched their hand, though. I'm a psychometrist, and I have to either touch the photo or touch their hand. But it does have cups in that are pouring together, which does indicate some sort of shared knowledge. The next one is the Nine of Cups. So this is Nine Cups. We call it the Welcome Table after the old Baptist song, I'm going to sit at the welcome table, oh yeah. I'm going to sit at the welcome table one of these days, hallelujah. Well, anyway, that's a song about a communion and community of the saints. This is a card that shows a host. He looks sort of proud and happy. He's put out all these cups. He's got a horseshoe-shaped banquet table. This would indicate the idea of some kind of a group affiliation. I'm not going to tell you to join AIR right away, but you have joined the Lucky Mojo Forum as a moderator, and that's a good first step along this path to being part of and known within a community and sharing knowledge, sharing understanding with others. It actually shows the possibility to have a good outreach to many people because the host of this party, the one who has prepared all the cups, has prepared them for many people, a diverse group of people. So that's my reading on it.
Thank you.
All right. Let's turn this over to Nadia.
Hello, my dear. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing very, very well. I pulled four cards from the Playing Cards Oracles by Ana Cortez. And the first thing that I see here that is very positive is that I have all four suits represented, which means that you have the tools and you have the abilities. The point of this is how do you arrange them in a good way so you are not only capable and able to do things, but that you also are in the right mindset for it. And I'm very much feeling here the first card that Kat was talking about was the two swords and the new moon. Because the first card that I have is the five of diamonds. And this deck is called the Peddler's Ace. And this is, to me, a person who will, the quote-unquote black gypsy, the person who is going to give you cold readings and will take your money. And so there is some fear here for being that, or some memory of people like that. So this is one of the things that you have to sit with yourself and figure out, why am I sitting with it? Why am I thinking about that? And I am not this. I am the real deal. So this is sort of the first thing, and that's your head. When the energy is going to go away from this and into the things that you want to accomplish, then you'll be able to move forward. And the second card also supports that because it's the Three of Clubs. And in this deck, the Three of Clubs sort of talks about be careful what you wish for. It's the ability to manifest against telepathy. I very much agree with that. Ability to manifest things that you think about, that you see in your mind, but still having a hard time to bring that emotional calmness
to see the things that you want to see and to create yourself the way, in a good way, so to speak. The other two cards here are the Six of Spades in your heart space and the Ace of Hearts at your feet. So the Six of Spades is not sounding very, very good. What it tells me is there is definitely support. The first card that I read about, there is some sort of a memory or trauma or seeing people that are not doing right in the field, sort of in our field, in the field of root work. But having the Ace of Hearts there, you have your heart is in the right place. Your heart is in the right place. You feel the things. It's just the sort of the mental space that needs to be arranged and maybe worked on. A lot of people is the opposite, you know. They're like, I want to be doing this thing, but they're not really feeling it, and the intuition and stuff like that they need to work on. For you, it's more that putting yourself in the right space, in the mental space, and being able to work through the feelings or memories of experiences that were maybe fake in this field. Does that make sense to you? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes, it does. Yeah, I do, actually. Sometimes I feel like I'm just making stuff up when I'm giving readings. I want to make sure I'm not doing that. So, yeah,
yes.
That totally
yes.
makes sense.
Yes, mm-hmm. And a lot of times, you know what it is? It's a matter of statistics. The more you do that, the more you know that you're right.
Hmm.
And for me, it was really important to be able to become to see myself as professional and market myself as professional. Because when I was
yeah.
doing readings just for friends or whatever, that wasn't, you know, people were like, oh, yeah, whatever. When you come in
yeah.
and saying, I'm a root worker and a reader, and you give them a reading after a week, they're coming back and they're like, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Then you know that you're doing the right thing. So you have, you definitely have the talent is that arranging that mental space and starting allowing yourself to feel that, to feel being a root worker, to feel how you can influence yourself and influence your community and heal you. The other things that I see here, and I'm going to stop talking in a second, is that was that Six of Spades here. It tells me a lot
mm-hmm.
that you have your talent is for people who are very, very hard, difficult situations, maybe also the dead that died in certain unhappy ways. And this is a little bit
okay.
freaky and a little bit scary. And I would really suggest connecting with somebody who does work like that. For instance,
okay.
I know that Robert Lucas posted something about, you know, be careful about asking working with the ancestors because, you know, when it really happens, it's really intense. Sort of the same thing because your gift would be working with either people in very difficult situations or the dead that passed that in situations that are not very happy and being able to correct those things. And this is a little bit freaky. I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. It's not an easy thing to do, but you'll be able to do it. You'll be able to do it.
Okay. Thank you.
All righty. Let's see what Contraman Ali has to say about root work and spells that can advance you toward what we've seen is your very likely possible future.
Well, you know, I find this particular question very interesting to me. And I think Kat and Nadia both hit it right on the head. That Two of Swords is the first card, to me, speaks to this very situation right now. You're asking whether you're good enough to become a root worker or a reader. People who have the confidence to do so don't ask, right? They know they're already touched by spirit, and they go forth and do it. So there's hesitation there. There's doubt there. And Madam Nelly also picked up very well on the fact that you sometimes doubt your own abilities. If you're going to become a professional where you take on other people's work, that doubt has to be quashed. You can't bring your baggage into the work that you're doing because you're undertaking, you're giving service to someone else. You're undertaking their problems. You're shouldering their burdens. And if you have your own demons to deal with, your own insecurities to deal with, you're undermining your own power to help others. Okay? So that's very, very important that you need to deal with this right off the bat before you do take on any type of work for a client. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to get yourself, print out the Temperance card that came up from Miss Kat. You can also just take the card if you want, but you're not going to be getting it back, okay? So make
okay.
sure that it's a deck you're never going to use again or it's a deck that you use for magical work anyways, or print it out from the Internet. And you're going to take this out to the crossroads. Kat mentioned an initiation, a baptism by spirit, Well, in hoodoo, a crossroads acts as a form of initiation. So you're going to take it to the crossroads, and what you're going to do is, by light of a white candle, you are going to create your mojo bag that's going to contain your power. It is going to be the key to your success, and the spirit of the crossroads is going to open these roads for you and anoint you in spirit that you may do this work. Okay? For the spirit of the crossroads is the spirit that gives us skills and talents, whether musical or artistic or magical. You're going to make a mojo bag, and you're going to put in this mojo bag Master Root, John the Conqueror, Star Anise for psychic abilities, Angelica Root for healing powers and the connection with spirit, Five Finger Grass that you may be successful with all of your five fingers, a pinch of the dirt from that very crossroads, as well as Dragon's Blood Resin. And you're going to blow, and then you're also going to put in that temperance card that you either printed out or that you have. You're going to fold it up and put it in there. Okay? Write directly on the temperance card your petition, that I may have the power to help clients, that I draw to me the people that need my aid and whom I can aid, so that you're never drawing someone that is beyond your ability. Okay? So you're going to put that in there in the mojo bag. You're going to breathe your prayer into it. You're going to tie it up, pour out some whiskey for the spirit of the crossroads, and then feed your mojo bag with whiskey. Keep that mojo bag close to you at all times. When you go to bed, place that mojo bag underneath your pillow, because that mojo bag will bring you dreams, it will bring you inspiration, and wherever you go, you keep that mojo bag on you, and you will have your power to help clients as well as draw in clients to the purposes of business. That's what that five-finger grass is for. Do this working during the waxing moon, during midnight. Go out there, be brave, face the spirit of the crossroads. Know that you will be tested. Know that it will be a test to your mettle. You will be, frightened. You'll be nervous. You'll hear phantom noises. You'll see phantom sights. These are all part of the experience, and it will initiate you into the world of being a spiritual worker. Do this, and I sense that you will have the power to be the root worker that you want to be.
All right, I got a real quick question for you, Ali. Mm-hmm. We wanted the list. Master Root, John the Conqueror, Five Finger Grass.
Yeah, I'll repeat it real quick.
Angelica
Root,
Star.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, go ahead.
Master Root, John the Conqueror, Star Anise, Angelica Root, Five Finger Grass, Dirt from the Crossroads, as well as Dragon's Blood Incense.
Okay, thanks, Ali. All right. Well, when I look at this kind of work, too, I'm just going to put in just a little bit of extra idea here. This is a great, great work. I love the idea of using the temperance card as a petition
mm-hmm.
paper because it came up good in your reading. It's excellent. You can write your prayer for success on the back of that. And these are the kinds of mojos that you would keep with you when you work. Keeping it on you for 7 days before you even deploy it is always a good idea. Let it absorb your sweat. Mm-hmm. And I think you'll do well. Certainly, being a moderator at the forum will get people to know you. Your next step is to figure out, are you going to be known as Nat Stein, which is what you are here in Blog Talk Radio and on
mm-hmm.
the moderator forum, or are you going to have a name? Think about that.
So the name is the next big thing. Okay.
Yeah, think about that name. Go listen to Professor Porterfield's show about the meanings of names. If you just want to use your regular name, then go right ahead and do that. Okay, I use my real name. You don't need an honorific.
Yeah.
All right, well, that wraps up that one. Thank you for a great question, and let's turn this over to Papa Newt.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Miss Kat. And support for this programming is brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and located online at luckymojo.com, and by the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, AIR, a directory of ethical and authentic conjure practitioners located online at readersandrootworkers.org, and by the Crystal Silence League, a free online prayer service of missionary independent spiritual churches, located online at crystalsilenceleague.org. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our next client. We are taking a client straight from the queue. This is Bubbles87. She is Bubbles in the chat. Are you there, Bubbles?
Yes, I'm here.
Welcome to the show. And you're calling from area code 317 from Indianapolis. Now, as far as I understand from Nagashiba, that this is an update on a past reading?
Yes, it is. It's an update and maybe a little bit of guidance on the part of the update.
All right, well, give us the update quick, okay? What did we read for you last time?
Okay.
People are listening now who didn't listen to the old show.
Okay, last I had a reading about I was going through a depression with an ex who dumped me, like, the second time we got in this. So you gave me guidance on, like, what to do. My cards were I was going to mourn. And then as soon as I got over the mourn, I was going to get myself together. And then the final card was that I was going to get married and have all this, like, everything that I've wanted. So my question is, I'm basically over my ex, and I have met somebody else. I'm a Capricorn. He's a Taurus. And I don't know if it's the right step for me to take, because it's a huge jump. I mean, like, moving to Washington, D.C., and just jumping in, so I don't know.
All right, so you're in Indianapolis. The new person is in Washington, D.C. What's the new person's sign?
He's a Taurus.
Okay. That's right, now with the Taurus. Okay, that's great. Wow. Well, that's usually a pretty good one.
Yep.
As Tauruses always say, you know, this is a, you know, as Tauruses always say, you can't go wrong with the Taurus, right?
Yeah.
They're in it for the long haul. They won't cheat you. So let's turn this over to Ali and see what he has to say as far as the reading goes. And I do remember you, and I'm glad to know that you found somebody. That's wonderful to hear.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Kat. Well, this certainly has been a show of signs and omen, just like our previous caller, who fit perfectly with kind of what was going on, asking, you know, to Nathan, asking about reading. So, too, does this call have a very important sign. I actually just flew back from D.C. So I would say that's a particularly significant sign that the person you're calling has just arrived in the very city in question. Now, astrologically, Taurus and Capricorn do make a good mix. Though more often than not, they're better friends than they are lovers. It is still considered a very good mix astrologically for a partnership and a relationship. I have pulled three cards here, the first of which is the King of Swords. And the King of Swords speaks to the anxieties that you're dealing with. The King of Swords is a stern man sitting on a throne. He's got a sword that is held at an angle. This is the past. You are still, while you say your mourning is over and your past, your ex, the anxiety of your past is still there. Things didn't go well, and you're worried that this big step, if you were to move out there or get involved in a long-term relationship, that problem will remanifest itself. And so there's a fear there. There's a concern there that you haven't put behind you. You may have put your ex behind you. You may be over your ex, but how your ex made you feel and how those circumstances made you feel is still very much present. And it is a rational fear. This is a sword card, which is an air card. It speaks to rational. It's not an irrational fear. Things can go wrong. And in fact, I do sense that distance can be a problem as you're getting involved. You know, before you guys have an opportunity to really build a relationship, there's long distance there. And that can be difficult, and communication can be stilted. So this is a rational fear. But I will tell you that the signs are good. For the next card that we have is the Two of Cups. Here we have two individuals exchanging goblets in an oath of love. And they do this under an alchemical symbol of union. So this is a very good card. While often the lover's card is put up and held up as the ideal card of love, in reality it is the Two of Cups. For the lover's card can speak to temptation. The Two of Cups is a mutual exchange. It's two people being joined together. I do sense that there is great potential in this relationship. I sense that he cares for you. I sense that he likes you and he desires you. And you and him all on the same page of what you want out of this relationship. For the final card that I have is the Three of Cups. This is a card of celebration after the harvest. Three women are celebrating all their hard work by dancing together and raising their goblets. In mythic sense, these are the three graces that accompany Aphrodite or Venus. And so this is a positive card that tells me that you will build a strong relationship. There will be a third person that will be an intermediary between the two of you who will help along with this. This may be a mutual friend or a friend that you guys develop over time. It may also be a spiritual worker who can help smooth out the differences and the obstacles along your way. But it is a card of victory after hard work. It is the harvest. The seeds have been planted, and now it is up to you and him to tend to those seeds, to, you know, water them and nurture them and help the relationship grow. It isn't going to happen completely all on its own. It will require active effort on both of your parts. All long-term relationships and relationships that start off as long distance require it. But eventually you two will be united and it will be a good union. So these are good cards. I can sense your anxiety, but I also say put it from your mind, for the future before you is very positive.
All right. Well, that's really good. I want to point out just another sign. We were talking about signs. Both our callers, and we only take two callers on the show, are calling from Indiana.
Yes.
And one of them wants to be a professional reader and root worker and lives about an hour and a half or an hour from Indianapolis, but is up in Indianapolis all the time, and the other one is in Indianapolis. That's a sign, wouldn't you say? Maybe. Y'all should get together. All right. Let's turn this over to the next reading. We'll have a reading from Nadia.
Hello, my dear. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing good. Tell me, before I jump into this reading, would you consider yourself as a person with strong magical abilities and things like that? When you sit down to do a spell, or like, are you really feeling it? How would you classify yourself?
I feel it. I'm feeling it more the more that I do it, and yeah.
Cool. I'll tell you why I'm asking it, because the cards that I have in front of me kind of show me that you did some work. You did some really good work. You invoked a person that you want to be in your life, and this person is on the horizon, and now you're sitting there, you're looking at everything that's going to happen, and going, oh, shit, really? Can it really be true? Do I deserve it? He'll be looking at me, girlfriend. If you sit down and you do magic spell to get a guy like that, you got it. This is yours. You're the boss, okay? So don't forget that in the exchanges that are going to come. I'm going to tell you the cards that I see. The first card that I see is the Eight of Diamonds, which in this deck is called the House of Good Fortune. This is already tells me that this person, if we look at his family or background, we have, you know, this is like we the Jews would be like, oh, this is a man, this is a guy from a good family, you know. So you have that background. With the House of Good Fortune, it's also the sea, kind of connecting my head to that. So I can see that. The second card is the Queen of Clubs. Leah, and in this case, this is you. And in this deck, we see her sort of flying in the air with a full moon and a raven by her. And this is a person who certainly can manifest what they want. It's a very magical kind of queen. She's looking into the Four of Diamonds. In this deck, it's the South Wind or the South Quarter, and it's a card that talks about changes that are happening super fast. And this is kind of freaking you out. It's like you're jumping into a circle of fire. Even though it all feels good, you're like, still, well, I had this really bad experience before. Am I going to do? Am I going to make this, all of these changes? Am I going to? You're creating your future, okay? If you're not going to make these changes, you're going to be sitting there and thinking, what would have happened if I did that? You know, this is a great opportunity. And even more so, your last card is the Nine of Hearts. the Nine of Hearts, anyone who does traditional cartomancy will tell you, this is the card that says your wish will come true. And we had the Nine of Cups in the previous reading with the table and, you know, and the cups on there and everything. This is a card that said you invoked something and you're getting it, and you're getting it in a good way. So in this reading, to me, this is very good omens, but it also says you're the boss. You're the one who can navigate things. You're the one who can shape and decide your future. And you, in order for that to happen, you have to take the reins, okay? You certainly deserve it. You're more than deserve it. It's your time, so shine like a diamond, okay?
Yes.
All right. Well, that's a very, very positive reading. And I like to hear that. All right, I'm going to give you some root work advice. First of all, what I'm seeing here is very much based on these two readings. The idea that doubt, because of the last one, and also doubting your own magical work, are both hindrances that you can well do without. If you need me to say, hey, you know, you did great, or Nadia to say you did great, or Ali, we'll all say it. You've done what's needed to be done. You're now being made an offer that is very positive, very likely to succeed. We can't guarantee success, but we're looking at it, and it looks good. So the move to Washington, D.C., to be with this new partner, has this actually been proposed to be something that's going to happen, or are you going to be sticking around in Indiana for a while and thinking about this?
I'm nervous. I'm not afraid. My intuition, if I was afraid, then I wouldn't be doing it. So I'm just nervous. So I know change is good, and it'll make you kind of antsy.
Okay. What I'm trying to get at is this planned for a certain date? When is the next time you're going to be together with your partner?
It's not planned for a certain date because he's so busy. He's a lawyer. So it's kind of like, yeah.
Cha-ching!
Okay. All right. Okay. All right. So, but are you all going to get together over the holidays?
I'm really pushing for it.
All right. What I'm going to try to give you something to do, if you see each other on the holidays, what I'm going to try to do is to get you to get something to be a mark in the city where your lover lives, okay, so that you will then go forth and claim it. Now, whether you two meet halfway or you meet there or you meet in Indiana, whatever you're going to do, I want you to make a magical object of some sort and mark it with your personal concerns. And I'm going to get into a moment about what kind it could be. But I want that to be something that your partner, lover, takes back to Washington, D.C. and will keep there until you come to call for it. You see what I'm saying? It will draw you to it. It's like a little bungee cord. It'll pull you right in, you see. Okay. So if you can arrange a romantic get-together over the holidays. If you can't, you can send it as a gift for the holidays. If you all celebrate any holiday, you'll do it in midwinter, you know. So what we're talking about is what's called a sneaky trick. It can be an ensorcelled shirt, socks, underwears, jewelry, those beautiful matched set of bath towels. Who knows what it's going to be? That's up to you to get. I did mention a few things that were cloth because those are the very easiest to fix by damp wetting them with a product, you know, such as one of the love products, such as Stay With Me, you know, marriage, things like that. That you would then damp wet the thing with and then let it dry and then give it as a gift. Now, when you do that, I don't just want you to only damp wet it with the bath crystals dissolved in warm water, which is, of course, one way to work, but also get a little bit of your own sexual fluids in that mix. You got to do it very subtly. Now, you don't want to leave no marks on the thing. If it's jewelry, it's much easier to do it because people will not usually notice what you've done to jewelry. And but on the other hand, jewelry has a hard surface and doesn't take those kinds of imprints as well. But you can do that. Our good friend Aura LaForest wrote a book called Hoodoo Spiritual Bath, and she just posted recently on Facebook some work with stuff that she had knitted. She loves to knit, and there she had Jinx Killer bath crystals, and she was dipping them in before, you know, wearing them or giving them as a gift. That's the kind of thing I'm talking about, but I'm talking about doing it with a love-claiming thing. If something cannot be soaked in liquid, it can be smoked in incense, okay? Now, how you do that, I know, because I know your name. You've been around us for a while, and you've been in the forums, too. Isn't that correct?
Yes.
Yeah, right. So you know what the kind of work I'm talking about. I don't have to give you a, you know, a shopping list. You can make your own shopping list. You can do it with herbs. If you have my green book, Hoodoo Urban Root Magic, you can select some herbs for fidelity and love, commitment, magic, or you can just pick one of the various products that we make from those herbs, such as, you know, any kind of marriage, stay with me, love me, those kinds of things, and put them together. When you do that, if you go to your lover's house for the holidays, if that's possible, you want to actually bury some stuff in the ground around the place or in potted plants.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You want to actually put
yeah.
some things down. But if you can't, if you just can mail it, we call it a sneaky trick. But if you just want to mail it, you got to put some extra special strong energy on it. And you can do that in food, too. You know, you can put it into little cookies or any kind of thing. But cookies are not, cookies are more like seductive, and what we're talking about is something that you're going to actually go there. By the time you show up, those cookies will have been eaten. So what I'm really looking for is something that actually goes into the property. Okay? Now,
okay.
To quell your fears, I would add to anything that you do, whether you buy products from us or whether you make your own compounds with herbs, I want you to add Queen Elizabeth root powder or Queen Elizabeth root ground up or chips or however you like to do it. Powder is really the easiest to use because I want you to be strong here. And if you're going to use Queen Elizabeth, you can also put a little bit of John the Conqueror with it, but some people for power. But Queen Elizabeth is your real go-to thing here. And you can even add some other things that emphasize female power, okay? And again, you can look those up in my green book or make your own, because I know you're fairly experienced. You're not a newcomer to all of this kind of work. So here we're seeing the beginnings of the payoff of your hard work, and congratulations on that. Now let's see if Nadia has anything to add here.
You know, really, I think that you got an awesome advice. I just said in the chat room that Queen Elizabeth is a favorite lady of mine. I think Queen mm-hmm. Elizabeth is a beautiful, beautiful empowerment for women, especially when you do love work. I like working with rosemary as well. So maybe you can bring some rosemary with you when you're going to see him and bathe in it with Queen Elizabeth and some roses. I think that what I would like you to do is to, while you're doing work on him, and I would not smoke the towels in it, but while you do the work on him, burn some Crucible of Courage.
Yes,
and
very
you can,
good idea.
And you can add some love, you know, marriage, love, Dixie, whatever it is. But just burn it so you believe in yourself, so you remember that you deserve it, and you made it happen, nobody else. It was your decision, your desire. And that's pretty much it. I can't wait to hear what's happening, how it grows and emerges.
Good. And I just wanted to also put a little shout-out. Miss Michael in the chat room mentioned basil for a happy home. Lavender is good for love. And those are all really good things. And wear something in your shoes also, because you're going to walk your way toward this new relationship. Okay?
Okay,
good luck.
Thank
you. All the best. The worst that will happen is you'll be friends for life. The best that will happen, you'll be married for life. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good luck. All righty. Now we're going to go to our free spell, but first let's turn ourselves over to Papa Newt.
Thank you, Ms. Kat. Friends, please join us for an outstanding programming brought to you by the LMC Radio Network here on Blog Talk Radio. We start the week off on Sundays with the longest-running conjure show on the radio. Tune in 3 p.m. Pacific to the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rubric Hour with your hosts, Catherine Ironwood and Conjureman Ali. Mondays at 5 p.m. Pacific, it's Candelo's Corner with your host, Candelo Cambisa and Ancestor Healing, the voice of authentic Cuban Paulo and Dominican Sensei in the United States. Tuesdays, we have two fantastic shows. Starting at 6 p.m. Pacific, we have the Crystal Silence League with John St. Germain, providing an hour of spiritual guidance and practical uses of crystals and crystal balls for development of mental concentration, divination, and so much more. At 7 p.m. Pacific, it's the In the Streets with Beverly Smith. Beverly brings front page reports on the ongoing struggle for racial, gender, and social justice, shedding much light on the civil and social rights issues. Wednesdays, 5 p.m. Pacific, tune in to the Liquid Libations with Andrea Weston, blessing us with poetry, short stories, and spoken word performances, welcoming all who love the beauty and power of language and music to call in and share their work. And on Thursdays, 5 p.m. Pacific, we have from deep in the heart of Texas, the Now You Know show with Professor Porterfield, a variety show laced with country wit and biblical wisdom. The Silver Tongue Professor shares his knowledge in roots and providing lucky numbers for the week. And now we'll go to the free spell segment with Madam Nadia of MadamNadia.com. Turning it to you, Madam Nadia.
Okay, so in the beginning of the show, we kind of started talking about virtual self, and I think that's what I wanted to add to that, that's important, is maybe don't think about it as a virtual self. Think about the job that you want to do, okay? And the same sense that I would not bathe in roses if I'm going to go curse somebody, okay? So think about it the same way. If I'm going to put myself on LinkedIn to get a job, it's going to be a different sort of energy or attention that I'm bringing to myself than, let's say, my personal Facebook account with all, where all my buddies are. So I want to talk to you about a spell to make yourself more charismatic and marketable, and you can really substitute this with any kind of thing, more, you know, more attractive, more sexy, more successful, anything. But before you start to do any work, really think about what it is that you consider marketable and charismatic. Who are the people that you see or know in history that represent that? Collect some images, put some quotes together, really make it visual. We're talking about visual representation of ourselves in the virtual world. We also have to surround ourselves with visual things because it's really easy to get lost if you don't have meditation practice or focus practices to sort of all of it become jumbled. So get yourself some concrete examples of people and energy that represents marketable and charismatic to you. I want you to mark all of this with crown of success and mastery product. You know, you can put some oil, you can put some powder, really depends on you. And wrap it in a little piece of purple silk. Purple, used for mastery. If you don't have silk, use purple fabric. I think that silk is sort of nice and majestic. Take a little bowl, put it under that bowl. I like personally working with clear bowls. Doesn't have to be clear. Put it underneath it and take yourself a figural candle. That candle is representing you. This is the effigy that equates to your virtual self, to that person that you want other people to see, that part of yourself that you want other people to see. You can name it. You can baptize it. You can get it in appropriate color. You can get it in yellow or orange. I particularly like working with beeswax. So if you can find somebody who can make it or sell it for you, because it's kind of hard, with figural candles, get beeswax. And around that bowl, you're going to put a mixture of crumbled bay, calamus, and five-finger grass. And you're also going to get seven white candles. You can do glass candles. You can do taper candles. And on each candle, you're going to write a name of a person in history, living or dead, that represents those kind of energies that you're looking for. So I'm kind of forcing you to do your homework, to look for those people that really can influence you. And you want to do this for 7 days. You want to burn your candle in increments. And while the candle is burning, you're going to sit down and you're going to create your profile. You're going to create that thing that's going to be attracting people. If it's something very little, you can add something little to it every day. If it's a big sort of site where you need to upload your resume and those kind of things, you're going to be busy during those 7 days. And then when you're done, I want you to take all that's left and put it in a package, put it in that seal, whatever you want, and you're going to keep it by your computer. You're going to keep it in your office. You're going to be able to hold it when you're working on stuff, when you're promoting yourself. And that will right away remind you, bring you back into the state of charisma that you were creating as you were working on the spell, if that makes sense.
That's great. I'm going to add one little thing. A lot of people use laptops nowadays, but if you use a desktop computer, you can put flat papers under your computer, and then everything you write comes up through that energy, also, or under your keyboard. If you have a laptop, you're going to have to come up with a slightly different way to do it. A lot of laptops, people carry them in a container of some sort, which usually has a slot built in for paperwork. Put it in there, okay? Beautiful.
Or you can take a piece of paper and write even those names that represent something to you. Cut that paper, tape it to the bottom of your laptop with the name, you know, towards your computer. So nobody's going to see it. A lot of people also put post-it notes on their laptops. And you can write, you know, nobody's going to be looking in there. Write your names. Write words that represent something to you that other people might not understand what it means. But to you, you know, it means exactly what you want to be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I like this
That's
idea of, because
spell.
It causes you to have to actually think by selecting seven, we could call them heroes and heroines.
Mm-hmm.
You actually have to think. It reminds me a little of the old fiery wall of protection where you select seven protectors. Yeah. Also some of the older occult European things where you have the seven powers of the seven planets, or the Cuban seven African powers, where seven of the West African Orishas were selected out of many, many more Orishas, but to make the seven. The lucky seven is what we're talking about here. If those seven people that you select as hero and heroines have initials, you can actually make a sigil in the Austin Spare tradition of sigilizing names or words too.
That's fantastic. Yeah.
Really, really good spell. Thank you so much. Very intentional, very powerful, and I love the idea of writing that bio, that resume, that profile while those seven candles are burning. Okay. Well, we're going to turn this over to Papa Newt, soon to be a member of AIR, and he's going to close up our show for us.
Thank you, Ms. Kat and Conjure Man Ali, and thank you, Madam Nadia of MadamNadia.com in Chicago, Illinois, for being our guest this week. We invite you to join us next week as our special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers will be Miss Aida from MissAida.com in Detroit, Michigan, bringing us a topic on tying and cursing nature. Once again, we've come to the end of another Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. You can find Miss Kat via the Lucky Mojo format at LuckyMojo.com and Conjure Man Ali at ConjureManAli.com in Mission Viejo, California. I'm your announcer, Papa Newt, joining you from PapaNewt.com in Kansas City, Missouri. The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour can be heard every week live on Blog Talk Radio at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, and the shows are available in the archive via theluckymojo.com/radioshow.html. For all of us at Lucky Mojo, I'd like to thank you for being here and invite you to tune in once again next week at the same time when you will hear the familiar strains of the Memphis Jug playing the Doug Van Waltz. Thank you, everybody. Goodbye.
Thank you, Papa Newt. pleasure to have you, and probably going to have Miss Tammy Lee back again next week, I hope. And thank you so much, Madam Nadia, for joining us.
My
fantastic
pleasure.
Yes.
Yes, always wonderful to have you here. Come back again real soon. Thank you, Ali.
Always a pleasure.
Yeah, you do a great job holding down the other end of this teeter-totter.
That's what I'm here for.
Well, and all of those of you who like the show, tell your friends. They can get free readings here. Okay, and
share it on Facebook.
Share it on Facebook. Social media magic.
Twitter.
Twitter. That's right. All right. My love to everybody. I'll stick around in the chat room for a little while. We have some people still in chat. And other than that, I will see you again next week. Good night.
Goodbye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Bye.